the stuff that I do at school is the same thing that I'm trying to bring to the podcast, where I'm talking about teacher burnout and then what you can actually do. Not like PD, where it's a lot of stuff is like, I can't use any of this stuff. This stuff, you know, we're talking about stuff that you can actually do to really help you get through burnout, whether you've been burnt out for a year, a day, a week, 10 years, right? The only way to get through burnout is to get through burnout.
Welcome to Brothers on the Board, the podcast where we become better teachers together. Today, we are going to be discussing teacher burnout, and we have a special guest. Today, not only do we have Wes, who is always here, just chilling over here, but we also have Tony Rambles. Tony is a teacher himself. He operates and is a host of the podcast Teacher Tales, and on his podcast, he's put a tremendous amount of effort and energy into discussing teacher burnout and what we can do to kind of help with that. Because as we all know, teaching is a career that as we get into it, and I think some people probably realize that it's not what they thought it was going to be, and then they start facing challenges and days start running together, you start to feel a little bit, you take a lot of L's. And it gets it becomes a problem. That's really what it becomes, right? It becomes an issue. So, Tony, man, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on today and talking to us about this. I think this is a very important topic. If you just want to kind of tell people kind of what you do, your background, that'd be awesome.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. Shout out to John. Shout out to Wes for the great stuff that y'all are doing with your platform as well. So I guess it just starts from, I didn't come into teaching right out of college. So I did a whole bunch of other stuff and I started teaching maybe 28, 29. I got into education. I know I don't look 35, but that is how old I am. So I've been in education since I got back from doing some work in China, and very different. That's definitely a different story for a different day. But you get in and you start to hear the stories and you start to hear the verbiage people use, you know, the way that they talk about, here we go, you know, the Sunday scaries, you know, where people are like, oh, crap, you know, it comes Monday,
through that.
You know, exactly. You know, people talk about Monday, like Mondays suck and they're only looking forward to Friday. They're always counting down to the next break, counting down to the next thing that's going to get them out of school. And so I personally don't always feel that way. More often than not, I use Mondays as a way to start the week off right. And that's the verbiage that I use when I have to go to my duty station on Monday mornings. I'm right there where all the kids come in and I got the music going. So the stuff that I do at school is the same thing that I'm trying to bring to the podcast, where I'm talking about teacher burnout and then what you can actually do. Not like PD, where it's a lot of stuff is like, I can't use any of this stuff. This stuff,
yes,
you know, We're talking about stuff that you can actually do to really help you get through burnout, whether you've been burnt out for a year, a day, a week, 10 years, right? The only way to get through burnout is to get through burnout. You got to go through it and you got to figure out how. So that is what I do on Teacher Tales, Teacher's Guide to Overcoming Burnout and Time Management. Boom.
Dude, you know, you talk about PD, the PD thing, you know, you think you talk about the fact that there's a lot of it that you can't use. And what I find interesting is a lot of times the teacher burnouts, it's not only what's going on in the classroom. It's also like what's going on outside the classroom in your life that I think that's an area that you have to touch on, right? There's a lot of things that's happening kind of outside of that, the scope of just the classroom that's causing you to feel that way. There's been parts of my career, like, you know, I've been teaching now for 13, 12 or 13 years. I'm not sure. I am also 35 and I do look 35. so dude, I've got a 5-year old since he was born, man. It's just, it's gray. Everything's gray. Man. Like,
I got a 3-year old. Hey, listen, I'm right behind you.
Hey, dude, you got 2 more years, man. You got 2 more years until it's all gray. It's coming.
Or it's all gone.
It's bad, dude. Beard's going gray. Hair's running away from my face. It's going this way. But yeah, I've been teaching for a minute, and it is something that that people experience, that people deal with. And you know, there's been parts of my career where I'm on the way to work and I'm nervous. You know, I'm it's a weird thing, like that every day you're on your way to work and you're nervous. Like that shouldn't be the case, right? It should be a place that you want to go. And yeah, right now it is, to be honest, right now it is. There's plenty of parts of my career, but there's been stretches where it's been tough. You know, mm-hmm. it's definitely been hard. Wes, is this something that you have, you haven't been teaching quite as long as me.
I have not.
But is this something that you've kind of experienced in the past?
Oh yeah. So I think COVID really had a lot of issues with that coming back post COVID, which I know everyone hears about that.
Yeah.
So it took some adapting on my end. So yeah, I've been teaching 6 years now. So I'm 29. So since we're throwing out ages. but I've been teaching 6 years, and everyone tells me years like 5 through 9 is supposed to be your most effective years of teaching, from what people have said. I've never heard that outside of people I know.
So what you're telling me is I'm on the downward slope at this point. I'm over the hill, man.
Past your prime?
Yeah. Past my prime.
Yeah. So, which is kind of pretty relevant to me, because year 4 was where I really was I don't know if I want to do this forever. That was when I was I don't know.
That was year 2 really for tough. Me. it was the beginning of year. At the end of year 1, I was I had to question. I was I don't know. I'm not entirely sure, because, you know, what we said earlier, you get out of college and it's this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
You grow to appreciate it. You grow to appreciate it and see it for what it is. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, when you come out of college and you have this idea of hey, man, I'm going to save every kid. You know,
Change
the world. Yeah. And then you realize you get in, and then there's just one that it doesn't matter how much time you spend, once you say, and you do the best you can, you give it 100%, and then you realize it didn't work. You know, it's just, there's only so much you can do.
I think that there is with kids, you have to realize I'm not God. I can't save every single child. It's just not happening. And I'm not even going to connect with every single kid. But the hope is that as I do me, I be myself in class, and I share who I am with the kids, that I'll connect with some. And then John, you'll connect with some. And then Wes, you'll connect with some. And the thought is that everybody, hopefully, will have a connection to someone. Yeah. Because there's no way, as much as we try, and I'm one of the most, I'm talkative, I'm interested in a lot of stuff. I like to ask questions. Reason I'm a podcaster. I do my best, but there are some kids, they're not going to fool with you. They're going to not really my cup of tea. But hopefully other teachers are kind of doing their part, and they're connecting with those people that I can't connect with. So, yeah.
When you have a building full of people that all are there for kids, it does make a big difference, right? That is the thing. So here's kind of my question: is this podcast, Teacher Tales, that you're working on, you're focused on teacher burnout. What was it? Because I'm assuming there's something that made you say, this is a topic that I need to explore or discuss. You seem to be a pretty optimistic guy. Like you was talking about earlier, you come in on Monday, you want to set the tone. Is this colleagues that you've seen that struggle with this? Is it just the discussion in the workplace? Is it things that you've experienced yourself? What is it that made you say, yeah, teacher burnout is something that I need to focus on?
All of the above, right? I think when you start to look at, I remember COVID. Oh my goodness. Whenever I just think of COVID, it's just, I just want to forget that part of my life. It just sucked teaching online and like everybody had the cameras off. It was all ceiling fan action. It was just, true. I hated it. No, so that's one of the times where I would say, okay, I don't like going to work right now. Another time was when we had a miscarriage. And at this time, I was a long-term sub. So okay. I couldn't even like take off, you know, for a week or whatever. You know, it was just, and I had my kids, they knew, you know, because I'm sharing, you know, it's me. And so, and the people, they would ask, like, you know, what's up with, you know, Lil Frank, which, you know, my last name. And I'll just be like, it's, you know, it's over. And then you would see like the light bulb go off and they'd be like, dang. That was one of the times where it was just difficult going to work. You know, that's a hard thing to go through, but we all got a job to do, right? It's not like I'm loaded. I could just, you know, don't need it right now, right? And my wife, she had to go back to work. Very difficult, you know.
Now, is your wife, I'm sorry to interject, is your wife a teacher as well or no?
No, she's not a teacher. No. And she vehemently says, I will never be a teacher. That is not my thing. So
fair enough. Fair enough.
I know that I am a teacher and I just looked at like people are struggling. So how can I help?
I'm just kind of curious there. You know, you'd mentioned like you went through some personal tragedy and it caused, you know, I think there's always the question like, okay, well, how much do you share with kids? And for me, I'm pretty open with kids in terms of like, you know, it's something I've struggled with forever is like depression and anxiety. And it's something that, you know, I share with the kids and it's something that, you know, when they can see you as human, when they realize you're just, you know, you're a person. But yeah, I agree with you in terms of looking at it from a perspective of, well, when personal tragedy strikes, something like that, which is awful, you know, it's difficult to get up and go to work. So I could imagine, you know, I could imagine that would cause some issues, right?
Yeah. And you go, now what?
Yeah, and for real. Absolutely.
That's where the podcast comes in. It's like, let me help you. Let me help you figure out how to not be afraid on Sunday of what's happening. Let me help you to figure out, okay, I'm proctoring this week. Ugh, like, how can I wrap my mind around this? Or we have PD. Oh, dang, here the school year is coming back up. You know, how do I help people get to the point where they're not counting down to the next break, but they are just enjoying their life as a teacher as much as they can?
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's one of those things where obviously people need to want to go to work, right? You should want to be there. So, I mean, here's the $1 million question. You know, what is it that people can do to try to avoid being burnt out? What is it that people can do to try to kind of reinvigorate themselves?
First thing you got to do is recognize what those feelings and actions look like. So it's going to be different for each person. I think if you're getting Sunday scaries every Sunday, then yeah, you're probably somewhere in that burnout stage. If you are short with people, if you are not excited, I think when you come up with, I think we all have lessons that we have that we're typically excited about when they come around in the semester or in the 9 weeks, right? If you stop getting excited about those moments, if you are disengaging, if you feel hopeless or frustrated, if these are the overwhelming feelings, not if you just have a bad day and you're kind of like, man, today sucked, and then you come back and you're ready tomorrow. If you feel these feelings more often than not, then you have to know, oh, I'm feeling burnt out right now. I'm having some difficulty. And from there, now it's time to get some help. What that help looks like, again, is going to be different for each person. So finding some kind of regimen is always something that's going to be good. Number one, you have to have some outlet that is positive. Now, some people are going to probably argue with me about this, but drinking is not a positive outlet. I'm sorry. It's not. It's detrimental to your body. It puts you in a different state of mind where you're not yourself. No, we need to find something that you can do regularly that will help you to decompress in a positive way that is not destroying you or someone else. So a lot of people working out, softball on Fridays. Ah, I love it. Playing basketball is one of my things, but this could look different for every person, right? This could be just having time reading your book that you like. You know, this could be taking walks. Like what that looks like, you have to kind of figure it out. So there are different ways. Think about just the things that you like to do and just try to do more of that, I would say. Also, you need people to talk to that are not just complainers, because it's very easy to just complain as a teacher. I find myself sometimes
it's so like, easy.
Oh my goodness, you will not believe what so-and-so said to me or the email that I got, right? It is so easy to go there, right? So finding people, connecting with people in education, outside of education, connecting with those people to, number one, yes, they will listen. They should listen to your gripes and concerns, but that can't be all that we talk about, right? At some point, you got to have a homeboy like Wes that's going to go, okay, all right, Tony, like, how are we going to fix this? How are we going to turn the corner? Or what can I do to help? You got to have those people in your corner. I know y'all have, you, John, and Wes, you can have people that you go, there's no way I could have made it without so-and-so, without this person, without that person.
Absolutely.
So
100%.
Building those relationships is vital in education. And I take it upon myself, as I think a lot of seasoned educators should, is build that community. You got to get outside of your classroom. Sometimes that's the worst place that you can be, is stuck in your classroom all day where you're just talking to yourself and giving yourself all this negative attention, these negative thoughts. Yo, get out. I don't want to say notorious because that sounds bad. I'm known for visiting people on my conference period.
Oh yeah, I'm the same way. I'm like all over the building during my planning period.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, it helps me
and it helps them.
I used to bounce back and forth, man, between class to class, and like I knew everybody's story, like I knew everybody's like situation. Like I knew everybody in the building. Like there's a lot of people in my building that they don't know
anybody,
a lot of the other teachers. Like they have no clue. I'll be like, yeah, you know, I was talking to so-and-so, like they're doing this in their room. And they'll be like, who's that? And I'm like, they've worked here for 6 years. Like you don't know who they are.
Hired at the same time.
Yeah. Like we were orientation together, you know? Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely something that's useful. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, obviously, I'm a little bit of a nerd. Obviously, I've got my pops and everything. Yeah, and you know, Wes back here with his magic cards. We like our Magic the Gathering and our Pokemon and our trading card games and video games and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, for me, you know, gaming is my outlet. That's what I've always done. Wes is the same.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, that's kind of what we do. But so yeah, I think everybody does need an outlet. One of the things that I will say as well is, do you think that people need to find ways to, this is a difficult way of kind of phrasing this, but do you think people need to find ways to find fulfillment with what they do? Right. Weirdly enough, doing this podcast has really helped me as an outlet and also helped me really find more purpose when I'm at work, which is a weird thing to say, but I know that this lesson that I do, this is something that I can use. I can discuss on the podcast. I can help people with, right? So like, is that something that you think people kind of need to do, is find ways to kind of find fulfillment and find small wins kind of throughout the day?
100%. Because we spend so much of our lives at work. If you hate what you do, there's only going to be so long that you can take it. Like there have been tons of people that go, man, I wish I would have spent more time with my family or taken more vacations. And those are the people that kind of survive long enough in their field, in a job that they don't want. I think that generations now, I think that we just burn out quicker because we're so inundated with so many different things, distractions. Because before it was like, okay, if your job sucked, you talk to the people in your building about it. You maybe talk to your significant other at home. And that was it. Like, there wasn't a YouTube video talking about how much your job sucks or how much the job that you have is not worth it. You know, you should be moving around. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. There wasn't social media all over the place. TikTok saying, oh, you only make this much money? Oh, that's a crummy life. You know, you're awful. Right? There wasn't that kind of stuff always. So I think now people are more ramroded, like with all this negative attention. So if you're not finding fulfillment out of the job that you have, I think you should leave. And sometimes that looks like quitting like right away. More often than not, for most people who aren't loaded, again, that looks like creating a plan. So you may not be able to quit this school year, but you can start working on something that will get you to a place where you can move on. Because if you're not, this is one of those jobs where if you don't like it, you're affecting other people in a significant way, because these kids, like, they are sent to us to be, you know, molded. I feel like sometimes we do more molding than their parents do. But again, another discussion for another day. We need to be at our best. So if you hate being a teacher, you really should figure out a way to get to do what you love to do. If you hate whatever job it is that you have, you shouldn't just stick with it just for the sake of doing it. Because eventually the time will come where you go, it's not worth it anymore. It's not worth it to my mental health, my family, you know, whatever else is important to you. The time will come where you go, I'm not getting anything from this, and I gotta find a way to move on. And the faster you can find it, and the faster you can recognize it, the better for you and everyone else around you. Because when you're fulfilled by what you do, you're going to be a happier person. You're going to be better for the people around you as well.
Yeah. And like you said, with the inundating with social media, and I feel like we are victim to the grass is always greener. You know, you see on social media, we talk about it all the time. Like, you see the best part of everyone else's life. So you look at, like, you watch this, like, social media video of, like, another profession and what they're doing and the vacations they're going on. You never see, like, them going to work day to day. You never see, like, a lawyer, you know, working 12 hours at a time, you know. You see, like, them making tons of money. And I think sometimes people fall victim to that, too. So just, like, being in that mindset, you know, can definitely be effective to feeling fulfillment.
Yeah. And don't get me started with, like, the hustler mentality that's out there. Oh, these 7 ways to make money fast and all these side hustles. I'm like, that's all garbage. Literally, if you're spending, think about it. Say if I have 2 side hustles, how can I effectively be a good teacher? We're not even talking about great teacher of the year, anything. A competent teacher, if I am steady focused on 8 different things. How can you be great at anything when your attention is so diverted? You can't. You really can't.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's part of the reason that I enjoy the podcast kind of community so much, is like, you can focus on something else that's also impacting teaching, right? You're by making podcast episodes, by having these conversations, by planning these things, you're effectively thinking about teaching in your career. I think that's useful. I listened to one of your podcast episodes fairly recently that was discussing something that I think is very difficult for me, and that is saying no to things. So I wanted to touch on that just a little bit, because, you know, when you look at the career at a teaching career, you know, we are told, or we are asked to do a lot. Right. And it's not just from admin. I want to make sure that that's clear. I mean, this is coming from other teachers, parents, counselors. Like it comes from all directions, requests mm-hmm. and wanting you to take on more and more. Can you discuss kind of what kind of sum up for us sort of, what do you think is the importance of saying no and just kind of understanding when you should say no?
I'll say that if people are asking you to do stuff, it's because a couple of things. It could be just straight up desperation. Hey, John, like literally we need to anybody, please. That happens.
Yeah. Mass email.
Exactly. I think more often than not is because you have a good reputation and people trust you. Because think about the people who don't get asked to do anything. Nobody likes that person. Those are the people that nobody thinks will do anything because they don't do anything, which is part of the problem. But again, there's so many different discussions for different days, but we will keep going. Saying no is important because you can't do everything. That's one of the things that I talk about on the episode where you can try, but when we start talking about burnout, part of that is like literally physical burnout. I've done so many things. I don't get enough sleep. I'm at this game, driving this bus. I'm coaching this. I have this ceremony because, you know, I have new officers. I got to plan that. I got to plan this. There's just no way to be able to do it all. So I think that you should try to do the things that you are interested in. And sometimes you can take the opportunity to just help somebody when they really need it. So our band director was like, yo, I need a bus driver. Like, I know, and cool with the band director. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it, whatever. Based around my schedule, though. Like, if I got stuff going on, if I'm recording or whatever, yo, I'm out. Sorry. I can't do it. All right. So, but he asked me, I said yes. And then I looked up and my physical was expired. So I had to bail on him like 3 days before. He was like, no way. And he was cool about it. Like, dang, okay, I understand. I gotta find somebody else. So when he asked me again, I was like, no matter what, I gotta find a way to help him out. Cause I got everything straight. So there are going to be times like that, and this kind of happens when you start to build relationships with people where you can say, yeah, I got you. I got you this time. This time I can't do it. I got other stuff going on. Or if you just don't want to do it, sometimes it's like, I just don't feel like being here or there. I want to go home. You have to just be comfortable with saying, no, I can't. I can't this time. Catch me on the flip side. Maybe I can later on. You have to be okay with that, because I think a lot of times what happens is we don't want people to think that we don't care. We don't want people to think that we are untrustworthy, that we're not reliable. Like, we don't want our character assassinated because I said no to one thing. However, I would argue your character is always going to speak for you no matter what. So the more people know you and they trust you, then even if you say no that time, it's not going to be like, oh, well, this person, they suck now, right? Hopefully you have a body of work that will stand for you in those times where you do want or need to say no. So first thing I would say is get involved with stuff that you want to do, that you're interested in. That's going to take up time. So you go, oh, now I got this going on. So that's going to help you out a little bit. And then the second thing is don't be afraid to say no and let your character speak for you. The people who know you, the people who think you're good, you're still going to be good in their eyes, even if you can't drive or bus or help them at an event once or twice.
You know, you mentioned the reasons that people are afraid of saying no. And I think one of the reasons that I can kind of add on to that is this idea that if I say no to this sounds super selfish, and we'll go ahead and throw this out there. If I say no to this when I need something, like, they're going to say no to me, right? This idea that, like, you kind of, you're afraid that if okay, I'm going to help this person out because I've got this in my back pocket. Yeah. One of these days I'm going to need some help. Like, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours kind of thing. And I think that that's kind of part of it as well. But Wes, I don't know about you, but like, I'm a bit of a yes man when it comes to, I can I'm not good at saying no.
It's hard for me too. Go ahead, Wes. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I will say that I'm fairly good at setting clear boundaries when it comes to that. I've said no many times. I feel like as a profession, like if you're in the education profession, you are a helper. Like you want to help people, right? And I want to help people, but I feel like I've been pretty good at setting those boundaries. So I'm not feeling it. Like I've got other things going on. I've made a very clear point to like not overcommit myself to too many extracurriculars, because I could see myself easily doing that. But I'm like, I'm not staying for every single ball game. Like I'm not going to do that. So
dude, that the Dungeons and Dragons campaign isn't gonna run itself. Right? Like you got to be there for it, dude.
That is true. I do the Dungeons and Dragons club at our school. So, and another teacher. Yeah. But even then, like the kids wanted to do it all year round, and I was like, no. Like there is no club at this school. Nah. There's no sports team that goes all year round. Sorry, we have a set time. We're going.
We got seasons.
Yeah, we got seasons.
Right? Yeah. Drathnor the Warriors story has to come to an end at some point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's gotta be done. You know, you talk about saying no, and I think that is something that teachers and have to kind of get used to, just sort of understanding what's important for them and helping out when you can. Obviously, I'm not saying that you just refuse everything. But just understanding that you do have to consider your own mental and emotional health. I know you also had a episode discussing work-life balance, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming you're saying that saying no, you think that sort of cuts into this work-life balance. Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I think work-life balance is something that we never perfect. It just changes with the seasons, right? So if you are a coach, right? I've coached two sports, basketball, girls basketball, and softball, which is also a girls sport as well. I have a club, you know, and I help other people. I drive. Like, so I can do a lot of stuff. So you have to know, especially as a coach. I mean, my heart goes out to people who do anything where they got to spend a whole lot of time at school or around students. You have to know, like, when that season ends, okay, I need to go more on like a low power mode, right? Because you've kind of expended so much energy and effort during your respective sport or activity. And that's okay. Because when you are doing it, hopefully it's something that you enjoy. When I was coaching, it was like, oh yeah, I love basketball. I love coaching softball. Like these are things that I want to do, but I know from this time to this time, okay, there ain't no work-life balance, right? The balance is going to be a little out of whack, and that's okay because this is the thing that I've committed to, right? But once the season is over, now we got to try to find a way to shift and get back, because that's when you start to burn out, because you never get back. The scale is just tilted the whole way, the whole time. And there's only so much time you can tilt that scale until it breaks. And you go, well, I'm not doing anything else for anyone. I'm going home at 2:45 when the bell rings. And when you start to have people like that, unfortunately, what happens is you have a few people doing most of the work instead of everybody sharing a little bit. So, it can get pretty difficult to get out of whack, but I think you just got to know the seasons. Like we said, you got to know the seasons.
You know, I think you get to that. I think everyone gets to the season eventually where you're like, okay, well, contract hours until 3, right? It's 2:57. If I start walking now,
I'm still on school grounds.
I'm making it to my car right at 3. Like, I'm perfecting this. Like, I think everybody kind of has those times where it's like, okay, you know what? Today, I just gotta get out of here, right? Yeah,
and be okay with that. Leave. Everything's not going to be done. That is 100. It was one teacher. I'm sorry, I had to cut you off, but teacher.
Like yourself out.
He would stay until like 7 o'clock. I'm like, dude, you can't stay, you can't do this. I don't know why I was there at 7 o'clock. Maybe I was coaching or something, but I'm like, you can't do this. Like, you could stay one, if you like, I have to get X, Y, and Z done. I have to, or it's going to throw me off or whatever. I can't sleep, blah, 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 whatever. Okay. Take that one time. It can't be every day, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. You can't, you have to be okay with saying, you know what, today, hey, 3 o'clock, I'm out of here. I'm good with where I am with everything, you know, across the board. And I just got to go home today. You have to be okay. And don't, you know, crucify yourself for wanting to get home a little bit earlier that day.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I teach English and I think about, yeah, we writing papers.
Man, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Writing papers. You know, I think about a teacher that kind of reminds me of that story. You know, she would stay, man, like she also taught English. She was there until like 7, 8. She's coming in early the next day. But I mean, we're talking like perfectionist to a point where every essay, every little comma, every period, every misspelling, comments on everything, just an absolute, just incredibly amazing work ethic. And I'm all for giving feedback, but it took a toll on her. I think you have to do things in a way that is sustainable. It's kind of like dieting, right? It's kind of like dieting.
Yes.
I've been jumping into the world of dieting every New Year's for the last few years. And I've come to a realization that if you're going to go on a diet, it can't be, I'm going on a diet. It has to be, this is a lifestyle change that's going to be long-term. It has to be something that's sustainable. It can't be, I'm only going to eat 2,000 calories or 1,500 calories a day, and I'm going to run 3 miles a day every day, because you do that for 3 or 4 days and you're like, I'm out. I'm done with this. So, I think teaching is similar in that it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm going to do enough to be effective and love my job and do everything I can to help kids to a point where it's affecting my personal life. At which case you kind of have to take your foot off the gas a little bit. It's because you have two personas, right? You have your school persona and then you have your personal life persona. Like you're kind of, we're living two different lives there, and you have to be able to balance those out. I think that's definitely something that's extremely important. I know that you had mentioned, you know, making sure that you're taking breaks and, you know, hanging out with family and people outside of education and on those things. And I think it is extremely important. So, all right, man, listen, I cannot tell you how much we appreciate you coming on and talking to us today. This has been a ton of fun for me. What I have learned is that I can't tell time. I got the time zones mixed up. I didn't just get the time zones mixed up once. I got them mixed up twice. So like we get on at like 6 and I'm like, okay, yeah, yeah. I told him like, you know, 6 PM, you know, 7 PM Central. And Wes is like, bro, I don't think that's right.
So I was like, are you sure?
I go Google it.
You mean 7 PM Central? And he's like, yeah, that's like 6 our time. And I'm like, no, that's 8 our time.
So got that figured out. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I messaged you. Okay, 7 o'clock. So we get back on at 7 Eastern, right? We get back on at 7 Eastern. And he's like, dude, that's still not right.
That's
still not right. I'm like, God, man, I'm sitting here like, oh, I teach. Listen, I don't do numbers. I teach English for a reason. And I promise you, man, telling time is not my strong suit.
English is tough, man. Tough. I long-term subbed English. I did one semester, sophomore and junior English. Bruh, never. After that semester, I realized, oh yeah, I'm not going to be an English teacher. This is not going to work. I'm not doing this.
Like me and
no
social
way.
Studies. I taught social studies 1 year, and I was like, I really don't want to do this.
I'm surprised by that. That's surprising. Anyways, dude, I appreciate you coming on. That's debatable. I appreciate you coming on, man. if you would take a minute, tell people what it is that you are working on and where they can find your podcast. And yeah, just let them know what your agenda is right now.
So I'm a teacher. Everywhere I go and everything I do is just part of who I am. So obviously, John talked about the podcast earlier, Teacher Tales, A Teacher's Guide to Overcoming Burnout and Time Management, which I think kind of go hand in hand. We're also me and my partner, Jen Jamie, who's also been a teacher and is doing some amazing work. We have a Facebook group that is called Teacher Triumphs, Overcoming Burnout and Balancing Life. So you can definitely go find us there. It is a work in progress. I'm probably going to get back on and we're going to work some stuff out today after we get off this call. But that is basically where you can find myself. The podcast is on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Again, Teacher Tales, Overcoming, A Teacher's Guide to Overcoming Burnout and Time Management. And then the Facebook group is called Teacher Triumphs, Overcoming Burnout and Balancing Life. That is what I do.
All right, man. We appreciate it. I hope everyone took something away from this. I think teacher burnout is something that's extremely important. Please, if you're feeling a little burnout, or you know what, even if you're not, you're probably going too soon. This is teaching. Go check out that podcast. Check out Teacher Tales. We appreciate Tony for being here with us. Thank you so much. And we'll see you guys next week on Brothers on the Board.